Are you a true worshiper? I mean, we think we are. I mean, we come to church, and right up here at the top of our bulletins, it said an order for the worship of God. And many of us have seen this almost every Sunday of our lives. Well, certainly I'm a true worshiper. But you know, I've been lately doubting that about myself. Am I really a true worshiper according to what our Lord said when he was speaking to the woman at the well? He did make it kind of a future event. He said, there will come a day when the true worshipers will worship the way they're supposed to. Now, because we're human beings, we have a problem with that one too. Because you go to different congregations and different denominations, the way we've split off into group down through the centuries, everybody's got their idea of true worship. But you see, Jesus defines it here for us. He said, God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up in the United Methodist Church, I heard the words Holy Spirit, but I didn't hear a whole lot of talk about it. I mean, if you talked too much about the Holy Spirit when I was growing up, they'd think you were some crazy holy roller or something. I mean, I didn't know at that time in my life that that was a part of our tradition, that a lot of those so-called holy rollers were people who came out of the Wesleyan heritage, who split off from us when we got more sophisticated and proper at the turn of the 20th century. And because they wanted to hold on to the energy and the excitement and the vitality of Methodism, they became denominations that we looked down on because they were so wrapped up in the Holy Spirit. And yet our Lord tells us the true worshiper must realize that God is spirit and we must worship him in spirit and in truth. We don't talk about the Holy Spirit that much in the life of the church. We don't talk about spiritual things all that much in our lives, and surprisingly, we don't even talk about it a great deal sometimes in denominations that talk about it more than we do. Not on a day-to-day basis. You know, you go to church and you sort of contain it there. I was having dinner, Jane and I had dinner with a minister and his wife and 16-year-old son recently, and the 16-year-old son, I think a little bit to the surprise of mom and dad, asked me a question about demons and the spirit world. And he said, you know, I had a friend that told me that one night he was in his bedroom and he felt like he was alone. It was almost as if he saw somebody moving by, and as he was sitting on his bed, he felt a movement beside him and an indentation on the bed, but nothing was there, and heard a voice that said, "Invite me in." So the child, being raised in a denomination that does talk a little bit about the Spirit, said, "Flee from me in the name of Jesus Christ." And the voice says, "I'm going after your sister." And the boy got up and walked through the house and told that demon that he could not touch anyone in that house. And then he said, "Preacher, do you believe in stuff like that?" And I said, "Yeah, I believe it exists. It's a part of the spirit world. It's something Scripture talks about." And my experience is that children and young people are probably more open to the things of the Spirit, but because we as adults are not, they don't come to us with those stories. They may go to no one. And where does that leave them? God is spirit. And we must worship him in spirit and in truth. Let me show you something on the overhead. One of the reasons we don't talk about the spirit is because it is so hard to talk about. I mean, we can't touch it. We can't quantify it. We can't give dimensions to it. Years ago, I read a book by Dr. Paul David Yonggi Cho, a Korean pastor that pastors a congregation of over 1 million members. And he wrote a book called The Fourth Dimension. Now, there's some controversy about his teachings in prayer, but he says prayer is tapping into the fourth dimension. Well, not buying into all his teaching, but at least the concept that helped me was that the spirit world is another dimension of reality. Albert Einstein struggled with that and toyed with that, with this theory of relativity. But in the world of things, we know that every lower dimension contains rules and laws, and each higher dimension includes everything in a lower dimension. So if we draw a line, hopefully you can see that, or even if we draw a box, a rectangle, project it up here, that's just a two-dimensional object. And that object has height and it has width. Everybody knows that, right? So you have a two-dimensional world. And then, and there was a time that you know, we thought the world was flat as if it were only two-dimensional with people standing up on it. But then we have another dimension of reality where we talk about an object that not only has height and width, but it has depth. This Bible, a three-dimensional object. Now, we can take a photograph of it and turn it into a two-dimensional object. But you see, the third dimension includes that second dimension and the first dimension. Each higher reality includes the lower. And Dr. Cho helped me understand that there are different dimensions of reality in God's universe and a part of God's plan. And I don't know what dimension, whether it's the fourth or the tenth or the 100th dimension, I don't know. But there's more to the universe of eternity than there is to the universe we know. And Einstein was struggling with that. And, you know, we sort of got into it with stuff like Star Wars. You know, when you're trying to get away, you go into warp speed. Or hyperspace. I think Star Wars is hyperspeed, and Star Trek is warp speed. But you see, you sort of jump a dimension. Now, most of us have seen at least one or two shows like that, and the spaceship just, I mean, you know, it leaves the spaceship that was following it and just warp or hyperspeeds into another dimension. Well, our Lord Jesus Christ came from another dimension. Scripture talks about the seven levels of heaven. As a matter of fact, the Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, beginning in the second verse, I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. I know that such a person whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and had things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. They warped or hypersped into another dimension of reality. Scripture talks about this higher dimension of reality in general terms as eternity, the kingdom of heaven, the spiritual life. And how could we start thinking about that when we don't even talk about it? How could we tap into that so something incredible happens to us because we're tapped in to another dimension of reality that maybe one day we'll know, but we don't know right now? And our Lord Jesus Christ came that we might be tapped into that reality. So in my mind, as I think about it, as I reflect on that passage of worshiping in spirit and in truth, when Jesus and Peter, remember Peter, were walking on the water, just like our drawing over here, they were in a higher dimension, so it kind of trumps this one. Its laws are more powerful than the three-dimensional world. That somehow the power of that spiritual dimension of eternity was operating, and the laws of this three-dimensional world no longer had sway. Until Peter took his eyes off of the source of his power. And then he noticed things going on in the three-dimensional world. What happened to him? He began to sink. The concept of the feeding of the 5,000. You know, maybe that's a form of regeneration. Some of the healings might have been regeneration of body parts. Years ago, I met a guy from California. And, you know, California just seems to have a collection of really strange people. But it's a good state. And I love going there. But, you know, you just hear all kinds of things coming out of California. But Herbert Otto was here as one of the national and world leaders in Winston-Salem. Jane and I were attending this conference. And he's a world leader in family enrichment. And we got to talking about things spiritual. And he shared a book that he had co-authored about spiritual healing from a scientific point of view. And what they had learned, and this was 20 years ago, what he said they learned was a lot of the things that we call miraculous healings are things that can happen in our three-dimensional world, but what's amazing, when they studied it medically, it was happening in a time frame that doesn't happen here. You know, that's what Einstein was playing around with. Time and eternity. That when you tap in to the levels of heaven or eternity or whatever you want to call it, the spirit world, that there are resources that do amazing things. And he said, in all of their studies, nothing abnormal happened except time was speeded up. Instead of being healed over months and years, people were healed in moments. Eternity, the spirit world breaking into our world for just a moment to bless a life. A friend of mine that had a heart attack not long ago, he's been reading a lot about health and heart research. And he says they're doing experiments now where they take stem cells from the hip and inject them into the heart. And on most patients, the heart starts rebuilding itself from those stem cells. Isn't that interesting? That maybe in some ways the things eternal are here and the clues are here. We just don't know how to tap them. But brothers and sisters in Christ, I want us to focus on tapping into the spiritual power of Almighty God as His people. One day, the true worshiper will recognize that God is spirit and we must worship Him in spirit and in truth. And so, I have started doubting whether I have truly worshiped in spirit and truth, but I want to. And I think prayer and worship are the two primary links to the spirit world. Then we can dream dreams and have visions. We can be lifted up like Isaiah. The Spirit does mighty and marvelous things. The miracle of the resurrection, where Jesus still had a body, but it wasn't quite like the body He had before because He wasn't recognized. It was a spiritual body, but it was a physical body because you could touch Him. He ate, but it was incredibly different. The life of the Spirit is different from the lives we're living. And Jesus wants us to have more. Jesus ascended into heaven. He levitated, would be the word we'd use today, right out of sight. But that's not unusual. So did Enoch. So did Elijah. So did Ezekiel. See, spiritual things just go beyond the things of this world. I think if we're going to be a great church, we've got to learn how to tap in to the Holy Spirit. To tap in and worship God in spirit and in truth. And so I'm inviting you, particularly in this season. I've saved up these thoughts till now because I felt Lent was a good time to talk about this. And you may not have gotten there, or you may have in your reading. I'm so busy writing, somebody came up to me and said, you know, I read that in the devotional the other day. I have no idea which one it came out of. I'm in a state of confusion right now when it comes to what day I wrote what. But, you know, I talk about this. This is a part of our self-examination. This is a part of our struggle to know our God and to know ourselves in a better way. But I want us to be a church that is steeped in prayer, a church that is dedicated to worshiping God in spirit and in truth, a people who gather together expecting God to work among us on Sunday mornings and do wonderful and powerful things in our lives. Wouldn't you like that to happen for you? Wouldn't that mean something if you got touched in a special way? Wouldn't it be great if we were so into that we weren't embarrassed that we might actually tell somebody other than our family and say, shh, don't tell anybody. See, we're so uncomfortable with the spiritual world that we can't grow in it. And I want that in my life. I want to worship my Lord and my God, represented by that cross, in spirit and in truth. And then I don't have to worry about explaining how this loaf of bread bought at a store. You didn't bake this morning, did you? Okay. By the Spirit is transformed into the real presence of Jesus Christ. I don't have to worry about that because that's what the spirit world does. And I don't have to worry about how this Welch's grape juice, because I bought it, I know the brand, how that becomes the blood of Christ. Because the spirit world does amazing things in the name of Jesus Christ. Because He was there in the beginning and created everything that is. And He can transform it. And that means He can transform you and me. And we can live in greater power. And I want that. And I want that for you. I want that for our church. I want that for our community. And I pray as we begin this season, we come with one spirit to desiring that above all else Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and all of the things that you need will be added to you. Let's concentrate on opening the lines of communication through prayer with our God. Let's concentrate on learning to worship in spirit and in truth. And we won't have to worry about anything else. God will take care of it all. Let us pray. Oh, Lord God, it's such an awesome thing to consider what you have asked us to do and to believe and become. A little scary, but like Paul, I think we're going to be amazed at what truly happens. And then we can let go of our fears. We can let go of the years when we didn't talk about spiritual things too much. Help us to tap into the power of the Spirit under the Lordship of Christ. And if we keep our eyes on Jesus, our example, our Savior, our Lord, but most of all, our friend, we won't have to worry about going astray. And especially today, as we come to receive this most holy communion we share together, we pray that your Spirit might make us one people together, worshiping and praising you. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and through the power of your Spirit. Amen.